intro us, Kim, so I can get right to it.
Okay. You mean Stephanie.
Sorry, I miss Kim so much.
Okay, you're listening to the... do what?
Kimberly Wise.
Kimberly!
If you're not jacked in, you're not alive! Alright. Hey, Gas. This is the K of Gax. Sorry I couldn't be there with you guys, and I think Alir has already posted this episode, but he said he's going to make it work. So, I'm actually kind of happy I didn't get a chance to discuss these past two episodes, because, they're horrible. So I have to say, I will want you, Jane. Okay, 3 out of 10. I did not like this episode at all. It made me laugh, mainly because of Fritz, and because of Fritz and his crazy demeanor. This is why I'm never going to try online dating, ever. Also, Miss Calendar is a techno-pagan? Whatevs. Let's see, there are a couple of things I did like. The Moloch starts fighting. He kind of looked like a low-rent Power Ranger, but I guess that's just a sign of the time. This just made me laugh. I know. But one thing I did pick up on, because I'm a real nerd this way, and I'm sure it's been discussed 1,000 times over, but why does Buffy have 2 birthdays? In literally 1 second, she was born October 24th, 1980, and was a sophomore, and like 2 frames later, she was May 6, 1979, and a senior. I know the continuity is not that great, but literally the 2 scenes side by side, I don't know, I guess being a Lost fan has ruined me forever for watching movies or television. So iRobot Eugene, horrible. 3 out of 10.
You're listening to The Potential Cast, Season 1, Episode 9, The Puppet Show. Buffy suspects that a ventriloquist dummy might be harvesting organs from classmates performing in a school talent show.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. The first time I watched this episode,
who are you?
Oh, okay. This is Stephanie.
This is Gabby.
This is Lirio, and Kim has ditched us again.
Again.
She said something about being on a diplomatic mission. I don't know if that's true, but
I miss her.
I miss Kim so much. I miss Dick Steph for Kim.
Okay, the puppet show.
So?
There is no theme or underlying...
It's a hodgepodge of a bunch of different things, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just a whodunit. It's just a mystery.
Yeah. Now, maybe it's because I watched it 45 minutes ago.
Uh-huh.
But I have to say, I really liked it. I really liked it. There were parts that made me happy I was watching it.
It was very funny. You know, lots of... witty, funny lines.
Lots of kind of sleazy, gross old man lines, too. But there was a spirit to it that was very, you know, let's go and solve the mystery, you know?
It was a Scooby adventure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, something's going to ruin the talent show.
Oh, those darn kids.
I know. Oh my god. Cordelia trying to sing.
Oh my god.
Awesome. Awesome. Oh, I loved it. It was terrible.
The greatest love of all. It was awesome.
It was great. And then, you know, and then you had your stereotypical, you know, acts like the bad magician and a whole bunch of other things. So that opening kind of this person walking back and forth or looking around and everything, that kind of jibes with what we found out later. Right? Or am I confused?
What do you mean?
Well, at the beginning it seemed like there was a spirit and it was looking for a vessel and then it found Cid to occupy. Like, that's what we were led to believe.
It was like black and white and floaty. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
And then that led me to believe that there was now a demon in Cid.
Uh-huh.
But apparently that's not the case. Cid's been a talking dummy for years and years and years and years and years.
And then we were led to believe that the new principal could be the demon.
With his glowing ears. I thought maybe he was the demon because he played a Ferengi.
Uh-huh.
Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Ah.
You know, he was Quark, the Ferengi. Two episodes ago, I talked about Klingons. Now I'm talking about Ferengi.
Hmm.
Who's the biggest nerd on the podcast? This guy. So, yeah, I thought maybe it's the principal. Maybe it's the principal. But so I'm wondering, did that very first scene where we kind of see a spirit or a demon or something kind of floating around looking for a landing pad, per se, was something to throw us off? Or was that actually the demon that wound up being in the magician? Or was that just to confuse us? Because now that I think back, if Cid was in that dummy's body for years, or was he just floating around and he landed in the dummy? See, that's one of the plot points that I'm not sure about. Was Cid always in that ventriloquist dummy body, or did he float around and land in it today, you know, like during the, like right before, during the auditions for the talent show?
No, I thought it was, okay, the boy that it ended up being at the end, the magician, I thought they were saying that he had to get the brains and the heart to continue to be in that body, that he had been in that body for a while. So I don't know what the deal was in the teaser section where it was somebody that was saying that I will be flesh. I'm not sure.
Well, when he said I will be flesh is when he attacked Emily,
the belly dancer. The crotchety ballet dancer.
belly dancer. Yes. But yeah, there were a lot of elements to this episode. Giles kind of being punished for being antisocial and being made to be the producer of the talent show, I thought was cool. The kids being ordered to be in the talent show and not being happy about that. I happen to have, you know, a fond memory of talent show because that was the first time I was ever in a band. Did you guys have talent shows in school?
No.
No, I don't think so.
Really? No talent shows at all?
No.
In my school, they call it the variety show.
No. The closest thing we had to it was at, like, a local bowling alley every now and again. They'd have the Battle of the Bands, but that was just a straight-up rock band thing.
Okay. So there was nothing?
No.
Right. Yeah, this talent show thing, I mean, I remember my high school was so tiny. We only had about 275 students in the whole school. And we still managed to have a variety show almost every year. And it was it wasn't as varied as this one. We never had anyone with a ventriloquist dummy, or any magicians. I seem to remember some hip hop dancing, people playing music, and I don't know. Maybe there was a drama scene, but anyway, it was all voluntary.
like Oedipus. This episode was awesome.
It was great.
The end was great. This episode, to me, it was totally, like the setup of it, I mean, just the whole thing was totally different. Like, even at the end, when the credits, there was still a show going on when the credits were going on the other side of the screen. That
the
hadn't happened.
The show was full of personality.
Oh, my gosh.
It was full, like Xander with the dummy.
Red Rob.
Red Rob. Was awesome. Red Rob was fantastic. I was like, oh, Xander, you zany guy. You know? Like, that was a really very charismatic moment for Xander, I think. You know?
There was a lot of excellent fashion in this episode as well. Might I point out my love for Willow's rubber ducky t-shirt?
Oh, I missed that.
I want it so bad. Awesome.
So there's a demon killing students, harvesting organs to re-become flesh, we're led to believe. And they basically think it's Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
Who's not Stephanie's daughter, but in fact the high schooler with the ventriloquist dummy. Who really, when he had the puppet taken away from him, he was like a junkie. He was like straight out of like a show like Intervention or something. Like, where's Sid? What did you do to him? Where'd he go? Very, very much withdrawal symptom kind of performance. Okay, so they kind of thought it was Morgan, and then because Buffy was attacked by
the chandelier?
No, before that, like, in her room. Remember? Like, it was like a cat.
I swear, there's something in my room. It was under my bed. Like a cat? It came through my window. Like a cat.
Because dummies give her the wig.
Yes. Oh, what happened? I don't know. Saw a dummy once who gave me the wig.
There really wasn't a story there.
There wasn't a story there at all. But
freaked me out. I totally got where she was coming from. As soon as I'm like, because I think of, okay, this is going to date me, and I hope somebody understands what I'm talking about. Remember the movie Barbarella?
I have never watched it. I'm ashamed.
Barbarella, like... Jane Fonda, Barbarella?
Yes.
Okay.
Remember the scene where she's attacked by little dolls and they bite at her and they jump at her and they're freaky little baby dolls? Ew. And that's what I think of when I see puppets. So when I saw that, I'm like, oh, this is going to be hard for me to get. It really scared me when I was little. Not as an adult. Okay. It's not a Debbie thing.
Debbie.
But flipping around like HBO or whatever when I was little, I saw that scene. It scared the bejesus out of me.
So would you watch a movie like Chucky?
I saw it once. And that was good.
The name of the movie is Child's Play, isn't it?
Yes, I have seen that.
And were you totally... Did it give you the wig?
It totally gave me the wig.
You know, these expressions don't come out a lot, but when they do, I'm really like, what did she say?
Yeah.
Like, I have no idea what that means. Joss Whedon, what are you saying?
Is he trying to create... No, was he trying to create a lingo for the youth? Or were people actually speaking like that?
Apparently. I mean, Steph, you've mentioned that that was apparently California speak.
That's what I think it is. I think it's West Coast talk.
Those people on the West Coast are weird. They go to work 3 hours late. Strange things.
And their food is very bland.
I would not necessarily agree with that, but according to Steph, California food is bland.
I mean, they don't eat turnip greens.
Turnip
or grits.
What? Grits. I enjoyed grits both my times in Raleigh at the Waffle House.
Oh my God, you enjoyed grits from the Waffle House?
Yes.
Oh my, ew.
It's just cornmeal with some syrup.
Mm-hmm. I know, but it's the Waffle House. Oh my God.
Waffle House, it's very greasy.
Yes.
Oh, my stomach cannot handle the Waffle House. Although some scattered, smothered, and covered hash browns are quite delicious.
Yeah.
Any kind of hash brown is delicious. Welcome to Potential Cast Cooking. when they were interviewing different quote-unquote witnesses, and Xander was talking to Cordelia, I flashed to, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, there was a shooting at a Montreal college. And there was this guy who I think appeared on 3 different news reports talking about his experience, how he was in the hallway and how he feared for his life. And it was exactly that guy had the exact, and I'm watching this guy on TV, the 2 or 3 times I saw him go through the exact same you know, spiel about how he was really frightened. It was very intense. And as soon as I saw Cordelia's dialogue with Xander, I'm like, that's exactly the attitude that douche had.
That it was all about him.
He wasn't even hurt. And he wasn't even... And he literally said, it could have been me. And I'm like, that's exactly that guy. I so hate that guy. Now I hate Cordelia, too. You know, because he meant to hate her in this particular respect. But that's what I flashed back to. Because there was this one guy who kept going on and on about how it could have been him and how it was intense. Like, guy, people were hurt. Like, you know, a girl was killed. Stop it. It's not all about you. And they just let him do that, you know? Like, they let him go on TV a couple times and keep talking about it. It was awful. Cordelia. I love Xander's comeback. What was it? We can dream.
Oh, she's... All I could think is, it could have been me. We can dream. We can dream. Yeah.
She was my best friend. No.
She said, Emma was my best friend. Emily.
Emily.
Yeah, so...
But what's funny is there is a huge band dancer rivalry at Sunnydale High.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
What's up with that?
That was one of my points. Who knew?
That's so funny. People are... Anyway. And so we figure out, because they capture the dummy, that in fact, the dummy is a demon hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And he Who was crushed. Buffy was the demon.
Because she was so strong.
And nubile.
Oh, God. It was so dirty.
It was awesomely dirty. I was watching it going, oh my goodness. She's supposed to be 15 or 16 years old. That's terrible. I'd rather she date a 228-year-old guy. Or a guy that's 228 years older than she is. And like have this lech of a dummy hit on her. It was terrible.
He was so creepy.
Yeah. And then he found out that she was a slayer. Oh, yeah, I knew this Korean chick in the 20s. Oh, my goodness. So we find out that it's not the dummy. Sid is not, in fact, the demon harvesting souls. He's trying to catch the demon because he was... What was it, Steph?
He was cursed. He was a demon hunter, and he went up against this demon that cursed him. And so he has to kill... all of these kinds of demons, and when he finally kills it, then he'll be able to die because he's been alive for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. So he will be free.
Uh-huh.
Which equals dead because his original body is dust and bones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've got wrote down here, the demon gets to keep the body for another 7 years.
Oh.
And what I love is in Sunnydale, because they're on a Hellmouth, because this is how things work on the Hellmouth, the talent show goes on in spite of the dead ballerina and the debrained ventriloquist.
Yes. Because people there apparently don't notice these things at all. At all. It's weird. And we do come to a moment where, because the brain from Morgan the ventriloquist was diseased, it had brain cancer, the demon still had to look for another brain.
Ah.
Buffy and Xander thought he was going to go after Willow because she's so smart.
Mm-hmm.
But they neglected the fact that Giles is extraordinarily smart, and we discover who the demon is because the magician, whose name escapes Mark... Mark the magician?
I think it may be Mark, that. Yes. Mark went into the box a boy and came out a demon.
Ah. Wow.
See, a lot of the action happens off screen, just like, you know, the chandelier was going to fall, and then we went to commercial and we came back, the chandelier was on top of Buffy. Because that happens in a lot of episodes, like Never Kill a Boy on the First Date, when she walks into the room when it's all messed up and it looks like there's been a huge fight, but we never saw it because I guess that would be too expensive to shoot.
I won't bore you with the details of my escape. So we realize that Mark the Magician is the demon, and in fact, he's not prepping Giles to be his assistant to pretend to have his brains chopped out. He's actually going to chop out Giles' brain.
What? That is crazy.
Because the other brain was diseased and he rejected it.
Yes. What a twist. Nobody saw that coming.
What I thought was interesting is that then, you know, they fight. Because, you know, Xander catches the guillotine cord before the guillotine strikes Giles' head.
Uh-huh.
Willow is trying to get the lock off of the guillotine, and Buffy's fighting Mark / Demon. Meanwhile, Sid is taking his sweet time getting there to help out. He finally shows up and helps out. And
he's
Giles
a puppet.
Out of there. And at one moment, I think the demon gets Buffy up against the wall or something, and I realize because of what's in the background that there are velour curtains there. And I'm like, oh yeah, they're on stage. Aren't people hearing this racket?
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, that's so weird. And then it all culminates in the demon falling into his own guillotine trap. The guillotine gets dropped by Xander. Xander dropped the cord.
Uh-huh.
Or was it Willow? Mm-hmm. I forget whom. Someone drops the cord and the demon's head gets chopped off. And then the dummy gets the heart out. He's free,
mm-hmm.
lifeless. And what happens?
The curtain comes up.
The curtain comes up. Now, I want to know who that person in charge of the curtain was that decided they should open the curtain. After all of that.
See, I assumed it was on a timer and it was just time for the talent show to start, and the curtain rose at that time.
Right. I am going to come with you through this portal into the universe where curtain timers exist, and I will agree with you.
Okay.
Because the alternative is too befuddling to consider. Curtain guy is like, oh my god, what am I seeing? And then when there's a demon, people are in the auditorium, the curtain comes up, and there's a decapitated demon in the guillotine thing. His head is on the floor. Excuse me, a decapitated naked demon. His head is on the floor. Buffy's holding a dead ventriloquist dummy. John's there, Xander's there. I think Willow still had the axe in her hand.
Uh-huh.
And cut to break.
Well, Principal Flutie says, I don't get it.
I don't get it. Is it avant-garde?
Oh, not Principal Flutie, but Principal...
Principal
Flutie. Principal...
What's his face? Principal Quark, the Ferengi. Principal Quark says...
Snyder. Principal Snyder.
Snyder. Principal Snyder says, I don't get it. Is it avant-garde? And then we cut away. Like, basically, that was the end of the episode, right? Like, had they not done that little display during the credits, that would have been the end of the episode?
I believe so. Yes.
Because I was getting ready to turn it off, and then that popped up. I'm like, what? There's more show?
Yes.
Well, anything is possible in the Hellmouth.
Anything is possible in the Hellmouth. So what I want to know is, did they just clean that up? Did they assume it was... I guess they assumed it was part of the show. But boy, oh boy.
Well, and that's something in Buffy. The cleanup is not ever discussed.
Well, you know what? I was thinking the exact same thing after Emily was attacked. But there they are. The paramedics show up.
Yeah, that's true.
I was thinking exactly what you said.
So sometimes the cleanup does matter and sometimes it doesn't. And that's why they had the vampires to dust.
Yes.
So they didn't have to worry about cleanup.
I was expecting the demon to turn into dust. And it didn't. Anyway, that was, I think, a very fun ride.
Yeah.
When it comes to Monster of the Week episodes, when it comes to Monster of the Week episodes, I thought it was really fun. I thought it was deep. Not deep as in meaningful, but it had lots of elements in it. I mean, it didn't have Miss Calendar, but it did have... but it did have, you know, Principal Snyder was in it. We had Cordelia was in it. We had Mark the Magician. We had Morgan the Ventriloquist. We had Miss What's Her Name who took the dummy away. I'm still watching you.
Well, see, okay, what makes me mad about it is if it's a mystery, you should be able to solve the mystery. And they don't give us the opportunity because who it turns out to be, they throw him in at the very end. You know, they lead us to believe that it's Morgan. They lead us to believe that it's Sid. They lead us to believe that it's Principal Snyder. And it's not any of those. It's somebody that we see in the last scene.
You mean it's like having five seasons of an awesome show, and then all of a sudden you're going to spend 95% of your time talking about two new characters, and one of them doesn't even have a name?
Exactly. It's like a television show that's a mystery, and they want you to figure out, and you want to figure out what the deal is with this mysterious place, but the characters lie. Makes me mad. Anyway.
That goes out to you, Ben Linus. Jerk. He was born in this island.
Lindelof.
No. Let's not mention he who shall not be named. So, I think we might want to do some listener feedback.
Okay.
All right. Do you want to read? Yes, sorry.
We just got a new email.
Yeah, I know. My phone.
Surprise!
Buddy. Yeah. It was Kevin. He played our promo. Yay.
Aw, yay!
We have an email from Natalie.
I'll read it.
Sure.
Hey, Gax and John. Great podcast. I'm totally enjoying hearing your reactions to mostly first-time watchers. I, too, cringed through most of season one, but friends kept encouraging me to continue, promising it would get better. And then came the Angel episode. Finding out that Angel was a vampire and about his past was fascinating and compelling. I wish I had seen this when I was a teenager because he was so right up my alley, a super cute, brooding bad boy who couldn't be a worse choice for Buffy. How perfectly Romeo and Juliet. Right. The Buffy-Angel relationship carried me through the rest of the series and on through the Angel series as well, which in turn led me to Bones because Angel is even more perfect when he grows up and joins the FBI and Firefly. Steph mentioned on the Angel episode that Joss didn't like guns and didn't want to show them on TV. Was that only in reference to Buffy because Firefly is all about the guns? Looking forward to season two, Natalie. Well, thanks, Natalie. I just think that
thank you.
He don't really like guns. I mean, I think he is a opponent to maybe guns. I don't know. I shouldn't say that because I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I know is he said was that the universe of Buffy is not about guns. It's more about the stakes and the fighting and the,
it's not an action show. I mean, it's not. I wasn't expecting guns the way I would on the A-Team or Magnum P.I. You know, different eras, but like when you say guns in TV, I'm thinking A-Team and Magnum P.I. You know, shows that had tons of gunplay in them. And then you had a show like MacGyver where he never even touched a gun. That one character. And that was actually like a philosophical stance thing that Richard Dean Anderson had. So I don't know if maybe it was an anti-gun thing, but definitely, I mean, from what you were saying, Steph, you had the impression that definitely on Buffy, guns had much more of a significance to them than, let's say, just casual use.
Yeah.
Okay. Because Firefly did have quite a few guns, but you can't really do space cowboys without guns.
Right.
Because our image of the cowboy is, you know, that kind of long rifle on, you know, on the side of the saddle type thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you'd be able to pull that element away and still have that kind of space western thing.
Yeah, and Jane had Vera.
That's true.
Lots of guns.
I have an email from Sarah McLeod. Hi, Gax. Really enjoyed your podcast. I love that you're focusing on one episode at a time, even if it makes me impatient for you to get onto the later seasons. I really hope you decide to watch Angel as well.
Yeah, we get that a lot.
Sorry?
Yeah, we get that a lot. That, yeah. Like, several people have asked, you know, why don't you do more than one episode per show? And we talked about that. But I just really want to give each episode its own, you know, just really, so we can really break down every episode completely.
It'll be normal that some episodes that we produce will be shorter than others because maybe we have less to say about specific Buffy episodes. But maybe, you know, I'm really happy with the way we've chosen the format to be one podcast episode per Buffy episode, because it'll, you know, like you said, allows us to really discuss the episode, but it also guarantees that we're not going to be saying or conveying that certain episodes aren't as important as others because we're going to group them necessarily.
Yeah.
So I think it's more that than anything else. It's not, you know, it's not just that we want the podcast to last 14 years.
Yeah.
It's also about the fact that, you know, it's difficult to schedule anything more than this at this point anyway. As you can tell by the absence.
Yeah, with four people, it's hard to get together.
Three people.
Yeah.
I really hope you decide to watch Angel as well when you get to that point. Although that does involve adding another 110 episodes to your workload. Just a couple of concepts of things you've discussed. I don't think it's really a spoiler to say that we find out that Angel was 26 when he was turned into a vampire, which was something you discussed last week. 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
According to now. So decide whether you think that's weird or not, although as we found out, he is 240 years old. Then I imagine when he was human that it wasn't maybe as strange for a 26-year-old to be attracted to a 16-year-old. I guess it's true. If you do look at Angel in his context, when he was actually in the era that he was in, when he was not a vampire, I guess it would not be strange for a 26-year-old to be attracted to a 16-year-old. I mean, a 16-year-old who wasn't married, she was practically a spinster, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah.
In the old days, anyway. A couple of weeks ago, you were talking about Buffy being canceled between seasons 5 and 6. This isn't actually the case. Fox, who made the show, wanted more money from the WB to extend the license agreement. The WB did make an offer for a further two seasons, but the show... Excuse me. For another two seasons, but UPN offered more.
There was a slight chance
that the show wouldn't have come back if Fox and the WB had played hardball and no one else had come in. But it wouldn't have been canceled in the traditional sense. Buffy ended after seven seasons because Sarah Michelle Gellar wanted to stop, so the show was never really canceled. There has been some discussion about the quality of later seasons. I love every season of Buffy, yes, even season one. But my favorites are season 5 and 6, and I can't wait until you get around to reviewing them. Almost every Buffy fan has different favorite episodes, characters, storylines, and seasons, which can only speak to the richness of the show as a whole.
Yeah.
Keep up the good work. Sarah from Leicestershire, England. If you read this out, accent is optional. Thank you for spelling the word favorite correctly each and every time.
Yeah, that is something that's, if you, I mean, you can ask a Buffy fan to rank the episodes, you know, from best to worst, and it's, everybody's is so different. It's really funny.
Who wants to read Sophia's email?
I'll read it.
Yay.
This is from Sophia. Hi, guys. I really love the show, and I know all of you newbies will fall in love with Buffy really soon. I was new to Buffy and Angel just since this March. I caught reruns of Angel on cable, starting in mid-season 3. Of course, I was fascinated by the show, bought all seasons. After finishing Angel from beginning to end, I figured, why not find out who his love Buffy was? So I got all 7 seasons of Buffy, and my life was on hold until I finished all 7 seasons. My boyfriend was not happy about that. What a ride! I'm 43, and just like Kim's voicemail, my life has changed. My perception of human nature, thanks Joss Whedon, is also is so in the forefront of all my encounters with people now. It's hard to put into words, but they have become my all-time favorite shows on TV. I have since watched both series several times and have discovered all the podcast shows, breaking each episode down. It is great to just get a total new look at it. I heard of you guys from the Hellmouth podcast. I recommend you all listen to Brian. His take is always very interesting, but don't until you are finished. Believe me, so many have felt as you do about season one. Let it ride out, because the rest is amazing. Oh, just quick note. Angel was born in 1727 as Liam.
Ooh.
And was turned in 1753, which makes him 25 or 26 years old forever. So his is too old for Buffy 16, but who cares? I have always loved them together. Thanks for listening. Keep watching, and thanks for reminding me what I felt like when I watched for the first time. All the best, Sophia from New York.
Well, thank you for listening, Sophia. Thank you for the email.
Yay!
Awesome. So.
Yes.
Any more feedback you guys want to read, or do we want to go to points of revelation?
We can go on to points of revelation.
Gabby?
I think we
talked about everything.
Well, we kind of gave a rundown, but anything that kind of just stuck out at you?
The thing that stuck out to me the most was the scene where Buffy is talking to what she has, like, oh God, she has Sid up against the wall, but then you can only see her top part of the body and then Sid's top part of the body. Was she moving Sid, or was somebody else running
that? I don't know. That was pretty funny.
But it was so weird. And then when he died, it was so touching.
It was very touching, yes. Steph,
yeah, did
it really jump out at you like a cat?
Willow has terrible stage fright. This will go on forever. That's something that they'll always come back to. Willow never gets over her stage fright.
That was
spoiler alert.
That was really funny. I don't know. To me, what really jumped out at me, not really like a cat, but was how much of a Star Trek nerd I am, that I was like, I know this principal from somewhere. I know him from somewhere. Oh, and as soon as he opened his mouth, that's Quark the Ferengi, because he wouldn't recognize him visually because of all the makeup he wore as a Ferengi. I was like, that's him.
Yeah, I can. That's how I see him. When I see him on screen, I see that.
That little snively Ferengi.
Yeah. It's funny. And I didn't even watch Deep Space Nine.
Not many people did. It was extraordinarily underrated. It was fantastic.
Is that the one with the lady captain?
No, that was Voyager. Deep Space Nine is when they were on the space station. A lot of people panned it as being the boring Star Trek because instead of going out and exploring, they basically sat around and waited for things to come to them. But
that's
the
one with the black captain.
Yes, that he was a Commander Sisko.
Okay.
He was not a captain. Boy, Star Trek nerd. Sorry, Steph. And it had, you know, a couple characters that were on Next Generation, kind of jumped over. Worf and Miles O'Brien were there. And there was a little bit of continuity. It dealt with subjects that the other Star Trek's didn't. And it was darker. And it was more soap opera-y. And I really liked it, I must say.
Mm.
But I was a fan of Terry Farrell at the time, so. She did not play a hot teacher, though.
Shuck.
Yeah. So, ratings?
Steph, why don't you go first?
On the negative side, there was no theme, no subtext, no lesson of the week. You know, it was just a whodunit. But on the positive side, it was hilarious and it was fun. And Principal Snyder was introduced and he was hilarious. And I guess I give it, but I did not enjoy it this time as much as I enjoyed it the first time I watched it. Yeah. I don't know why, but I give it an 8 out of 10.
Ooh. Let's see. I'm going to, well, the puppet freaked me out.
No bronze.
But it was no bronze.
It wasn't even
mentioned. Not even a mention of it. Yeah. How dare they? But Willow did have a cool rubber ducky t-shirt on. And Cordelia was hilarious with her inability to sing. So I'm going to give it a, and I'd like to throw in the other one. It was very funny. I'll give it a 7.5 out of 10.
I really liked this episode a lot. Like you said, it was fun and it was a whodunit, but it had a couple twists in it and I liked them and I really liked the twists. Realizing that the dummy wasn't just, you know, bloodthirsty demon, but actually had a personality, a lecherous one, but a personality nonetheless. I really, 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 really enjoyed it because it was original. And on that basis, I'm going to give it 4.5 poutines out of 5.
Ooh.
All right.
Nice.
Because I really, really, really enjoyed watching it. I had a good time watching it rather than watching it and being intrigued and interested. I was really entertained by this one.
1.5 hours ago.
I'd say, yeah. I'd say so. All right. Quotes?
Oh, there's so many. Go ahead, Gabby.
It was hard. But I didn't do the part with the sparklers.
I know Principal Flutie would have said, kids need understanding. Kids are human beings. That's the kind of woolly-headed liberal thinking that leads to being eaten.
Well, from that same scene, he says, Sunnydale has touched and felt for the last time. But I do want to mention my backup.
Yeah, Zander, I have 40.
Oh, which one?
Rizander saying, does anyone else feel like they've been Kaiser Soze'd?
Oh,
my
which
other
I
one
will
was
not explain in case any listeners have not yet watched The Usual Suspects. And if you haven't watched The Usual Suspects, slap yourself silly and go watch The Usual Suspects.
My backup was a Xander quote too. Can I just mention that detention is a time-honored form of punishment?
I have more Principal Snyder. Kids, I don't like them.
Yes.
Oh, there's also this one. Giles, until every generation is born one who must run the annual talentless show, you must not escape. You cannot escape your destiny.
That was good. That was quite early on, too. Dear listeners.
Also, this one from Willow. Once again, I'm banished to the demon section of the card catalog.
Yes. Cute. Once again, we're not long for this podcast episode, so just a reminder, please feel free to tell us what you think about what we've put out on these wonderful airwaves known as your earbuds. You can do this in many forms. You can write us an email at
potentialcast@gmail.com.
It's just like Kim is here. You could also call us, send us a voicemail, rather than one of those complicated MP3 attachment things. Voicemail number is 27040-BUFFY. And in case your phone does not have letters on the numbers, that's 27040-28339. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/potentialcast. And if you do follow us on Twitter, you're more than welcome to do that. You can figure out how to find us, I think. If you follow me, from Potential Cast, or I have an inkling that you followed me from this, I'm probably not going to follow you back because I don't want to get spoiled with later things. So I apologize in advance.
Aww. But you can follow me and let me know that you're following me, and I'll follow you back, and we can talk about Buffy as much as you want.
Awesome. So
I'm
twitter.com/Illyrio.
I'm twitter.com/Steph Smith.
And I'm twitter.com/Gabzilla, GABBZILLA.
Awesome. And you feel free to go to potentialcast.com, where you will find show notes for each of our podcast episodes, and you will also find 2 promos that you can play on your very own show, if you'd like to promote us, because we're kind of neat.
We're nice people.
Most of us. They bother to show up. I know. I hope Kim comes back next time. Speaking of next time, Steph, what's our homework?
Nightmares. Ooh, this is a good one.
Nightmares?
Nightmares.
I might watch it on the plane to Newfoundland tomorrow. I mean, 2 weeks ago.
Will it give me nightmares? I wonder.
Are there lots of scenes of Buffy tossing and turning in bed?
I don't think so.
No? All right.
I can't remember.
Okay. Awesome. Well, unless we have anything else to add, I think it's time to say goodbye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Tell your friends.
Next episode, The Puppet. First of all, I also like Buffy. That dummies, puppets freaked the hell out of me. And the scene where the puppet was in her bedroom, that's kind of creepy to me. Also, let's see. Am I the only one that felt like this whole episode had a very, like, Team America feel to it? I don't know. Just super creepy. Let's see. I will be Flash. Once you go wood, nothing's as good. God, I love those one-liners. Oh my god. And also, the last 2 episodes, where the hell are all the vampires? Huh? Anyways. How many students have to die before people get the hell out of that school? Weird. Red Rum! Red Rum! The thing cut me off. This is the Kay and Gax again, calling back. Let's see. That dummy in the puppet? Crazy. Absolutely bonkers. I wonder if there was a time during this episode where Sarah Michelle Gellar was sitting on the set, you know, waiting for the cameras to roll, seeing that, okay, the glitter of the talent show is going on as well, and she's looking down, and she's like, I have to do a scene with a puppet. Maybe it's time for me to look for a new job. So weird. So weird. Anyways, did I mention I hate this school? Thank you, Xander. Always the voice of reason. The puppet. Let's see. Out of 10? Maybe 5 or 6. Purely because it was pretty funny. And 3 of my points out of the 6 go to the end credit sequence when they're doing the Shakespeare scene, I believe. Cracked me up. Anyways, I'll be back next episode, guys. It'll be Gax again. Alright, take care. Peace.